Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 8, page 848 in your pew Bibles or up on the screens. Let us hear the word of the Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moons and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. All flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Turning now to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, and chapter 5, verse 1. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we are alive, are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Blessed be the word of our Lord.
Thank you. Let us pray together. God, as we focus in upon the 2 Corinthians passage and some of Psalm 8, help us to be mindful, Lord, of your greatness, of the treasures that are in clay jars, earthen vessels. So, God, we ask that we would have open minds and hearts to listen and to follow as you lead. Amen. It's not a quiz, okay? But to have a few slides I'd like to get your perspective on. Okay, John. Besides that one. Okay, what do you see? Maybe you've seen this before. What do you see in that picture? Okay, I can hear some.
Two people,
what?
Face to face.
Face to face, okay. See anything else? A chalice kind of in the middle, right? Okay. This other one I kind of threw in. Okay, John, let's go on to the next one. You see that? What's that look like?
Tree.
What's it look like?
It's about a
tree.
Okay.
It's a
Come on, people.
It's
a silhouette, okay. But what do you see in that picture? Just describe what you see in that picture.
Somebody marooned on an island.
Somebody marooned on an island, okay. What else do you see? Okay, somebody happy to see land. Okay, John, go on to the next one. Okay, now from a different perspective, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now we can kind of see, I think, both of them. All right. Now, here's the last one. Okay? What do you see?
God is now here.
Okay, now God is now here, or what?
God is nowhere.
Okay. Perspective, right? How you see things. Dan Davenport has some really good illustrations of some other ones too. Talk with Dan afterwards. But seeing things from a different perspective, right? Even the guy from the marooned island was seeing the person in the boat, and then the person from the boat saw a different perspective. I've used this illustration before, but I think it's a good one. Two men, and it could have been two women as well, were measuring a pole. One was holding it up, and the other was trying to run the tape of it. Someone driving by saw the two men, what they were trying to do, and the struggle that they were going through, and pulled up alongside them and asked, "Why don't you lie the pole down, so it'll be easier to measure?" So the two men thought about that for a moment, and they laid the pole down and began measuring it. In the meantime, the bystander drove away, and one of the men said to the other, "Put the pole back up the way it was. I wanted to measure the height of the pole, not the length." Well, it could have been two men, two women, a boy and a girl, or whatever. Man. So, seeing things from different perspectives. Matt, I thought your message was very good in regards to the job. You know, I like cookies too, but something that was special, something valuable. But life is so often beyond our limited thinking and perspective. At times we may get locked into certain patterns, behaviors, attitudes which are binding and not life-producing, as the Lord would desire. This morning, for a few minutes, I'd like us to look at that treasure and the treasures inside the clay jars that the Apostle Paul mentions in that second letter to the people at Corinth. What would you say are valuables? What are some treasures in your life? Those things which are lasting, of exceeding high value, high price, maybe even priceless. Many people that are affected by storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, wildfires, etc., lose many things of value. Sometimes it's in a matter of just seconds what possessions could be their homes, automobiles, other types of valuables, including sometimes life itself. One is left with dealing with many losses of those things valued. But think about a treasure chest and various treasures, just for a moment. Gold, silver, expensive jewelry, baseball cards, old notes, report cards. Maybe some of the report cards you don't want. But notes or cards that are special, maybe pictures. The Apostle Paul states about a treasure that's within. And he talks about, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this is all surpassing power is from God and not from us." That power within, it's not us manufacturing that. It's God's Spirit alive within us. In biblical times, it was noted that people would hide important things in jars. From the outside, it was just a jar, but from the inside, some type of valuable item. And Jesus, too, taught not to store up treasures on earth, the ones that age, moth, aging, but what is eternal. Place and put God first and foremost in our lives. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," Jesus said in Matthew, desiring to place the Lord first and foremost in our lives, in the decisions that we make, in the people that we are. You know, it just doesn't happen without effort, a choice on our part. From The Secret Message of Jesus by Brian McLaren, he says, "Don't just listen with your ear, listen with your heart. Don't just hear my words, hear my deeper meaning. Don't just listen to the literal meaning accessible to your rational mind, but seek deeper for a meaning that requires that you make a personal investment of your sincere effort and your imagination. God is at work in the world, but God is at work in your life and in my life today, at this moment, and this week ahead. God's greatness is seen all around. As Henry was reading from Psalm 8, you know, it talks about the grandeur and greatness of God, and that he created us as humans, a little lower than the angels, and has given us responsibility. And then from Isaiah 64, 8, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." Loving one another, isn't that what Jesus taught and did? Isn't that what we're called to do as his disciples and in his name? I'm not an elephant. By elephant, I'm not, well, maybe I'm a little bit large at times, but, you know, about remembering names. And I said a few weeks ago, a person at the gas station, I ran into somebody at CVS this morning, and I can never remember her name. I say each Sunday what that is, and then, but she's really a very kind and caring person. It's a different name, and right now I can't even remember what it is. I know it begins with an S in that, so, and we both like the Mets, so that's one thing we have in common. But there's more to, you know, kind of just seeing things on the outside, but it's seeing things on the inside. There's a bulletin board outside my office, and I've had this quote up there often. I don't know if you stop by, but it's a great one. It's by Roy Lesson, and it says, "Just think, you're not here by chance, but by God's choosing. His hand formed you and made you the person that you are. He compares you to no one else. You are one of a kind. You lack nothing that his grace can't give you. He has allowed you to be here at this time in history to fulfill his special purpose for this generation." Not here by chance. Surely not. I think of those from Abundant Life that's going to be going to Patterson. You know, the children and others that are going to be gathered there. You know, that God has brought together, and hopefully there's open ears and open hearts for all that are there, young and old. But God at work within us. But God's presence, power, and purpose. Sometimes realizing that and knowing that God is there is not a problem. But many times, especially in the difficult times, God seems kind of distant. Remember that God is nowhere, or God is now here. Just a little bit different of a slant. You know, Scripture reminds us in the Old Testament and New Testament that God is present. God is present not only in the heavens, but here on the earth. And most profoundly in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to show us life in all its fullness, even to a sacrifice and a death on the cross for us. And God's love and mercy shown to us through that person of Jesus. If we were to read later on in 2 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul talks about being a new creation, a new creature. The old has passed away, the new has come. That God is at work, and God is at work in reconciliation, of bringing us back, but also all of people back to him, and wants us to be at work in that purpose. Jesus said the kingdom of God is what? Really testing you guys to this, right? What did Jesus say? He just said a lot of things. The kingdom of God is within you, within us. Not outside there, not kind of in the heavens beyond us, but right there, God is present. God's redemptive work of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, that we may experience life now and eternally. That's the hope of glory. The power is a transcendent power. That's the treasure. You know, transcendent, it's a word we don't use often, but that goes beyond rational thought, that goes above and beyond. And Paul says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." You know, think about that. You know, crushed, but not totally in despair. Affliction, keeping the proper perspective and God-ordained purpose, even amidst problems, difficulties, things which don't make sense from our vantage point. Afflictions. What are some of those things? Some that we don't bring on and others that we do bring on. Illness or sickness, some kind of disability, normal trials and situations that we face. It's for all, Christians and those that aren't Christian. Problems, difficulties, challenges. Some can be overwhelming at times, and maybe some are you experiencing right now, some overwhelming things, or people that you know. The Apostle Paul himself faced afflictions. In 2 Corinthians, later on, he speaks of the thorn in the flesh. And it was some problem which Paul prayed for that God would remove, and for whatever reason, God did not remove it. There's been speculation on what that might have been. Some have suggested malaria, epilepsy, a disease of the eyes, reference from Galatians. Whatever it was, Paul needed to deal with it. He needed to accept it and trust that the Lord would use that for his glory and purposes. In ways, that thorn was a hindrance to Paul's ministry, but it kept Paul humble and reminded him of the dependence upon the Lord. My grace is sufficient for you, says the Lord, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be kind of strong and kind of show that way versus kind of that weakness that God is at work in my life and working through that. So Paul stated that even in his weakness, the power of God was shown and manifested and revealed. Now, that makes sense on one level, but again, I would rather have it through strength. So what are the afflictions today that you and I are dealing with? How about others that we may know? How about the perplexities? Henry, you were perplexed that the scripture reading kept going on. Well, that's a minor perplexity in that. So, but those situations and happenings that baffle us, that we can't figure out, that seem to contradict what God has commanded, maybe clouded with doubt and lack of wisdom to make choices, you know, not black or white, and maybe it doesn't seem fair or right. We may wonder how it would turn out, worry, uncertainties, fears. I personally don't like perplexity. I'd rather have things kind of cut and dry, but often in life that isn't the way it is. How about persecutions? How often are we persecuted for our faith in the United States? For some, that really doesn't happen, but for most, there's not really that persecution. But in some nations, being a Christian is not permitted or found out to be expressing that faith. You would be harmed and even death. You know, I think of even the persons in South Carolina, you know, that there was the shootings that happened, the tragedy, that it may be prejudiced and hate against people, whether race, religion, some other difference, which people, some would detest. Paul, too, was persecuted by some of the Jewish leaders and authorities, the Romans, and some by Christians that really thought that his conversion really didn't negate what he did before in his life. Then there's catastrophes of various kinds, earthquakes, tidal waves, typhoons, automobile accidents, airline crashes, among other types of catastrophes. Some mysteries indeed with those things that happen. Some of our questions and trust in the Lord, that the God is present there, that God is with us at all times. And what we need is that strong, in-depth faith and trust that the Lord is there. I read from a sermon by Dr. Joanna Adams about this. She said about earthen vessels, I have observed a few things. No matter how many gifts and abilities we have, our knowledge and insight are limited to our time and place in history. We are all, every one of us, subject to selfish impulses, riddled with personal quirks, not you and me, though, on that, right? Easily misled by delusions of our own egos cooked up, as well as by the opinions of others. Some of us think erroneously that we are less worthy than we actually are, and others of us are convinced that we are the cat's meow. In reality, there is something good about the worst of us, and there is something wrong with all of us. So friends, what the Apostle Paul is saying then and now is that the valuable message is that of Jesus, his work in salvation that has been done and which has been entrusted to you and to me. That's the contents of the jar, God's great power at work within us and through us. Earthen vessels, an eternal tent. Lisa and Tim, I think, in just, what, like 3 months? You guys are going to be married, and that's time for celebration. And I think of Jana, who's not here. She's going to be married, and Steve and Stacy Rao are going to be married in less than 2 weeks. And excited about those times. And those are great times of joy. There's a couple that has been worshiping with us. They're going to have their baby baptized. They're not here this morning. Tim and Sophia, and little Scott is going to be baptized, I think, in September. And we're excited about that. Those times of joys, but there's also times of difficulty and sorrow. And in less than 2 hours, I'm going to be standing at a cemetery in Pompton Plains at First Reformed Church. And a friend of mine who was a member of First Reformed Church passed away 1 year ago today. And his widow, it's really been a tough year for her. And they have no children. They lost their baby. Baby was only 1 day old years ago, but never had any children. So I and Roland Petit, who's a chaplain at Chilton Hospital, and just family are going to be gathered. Linda Thomas will be there too. And, you know, I'm thinking about these verses, and especially that last verse that Henry read. You know, and let me read that again. That was verse 1 from chapter 5. You know, Paul talks about, you know, not being crushed, kind of keeping that perspective that Christ is within us, and then he says these words. Now we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in the heaven, not built by human hands. Not built by human hands. You know, and had an opportunity to get to know Leon and his impact in the soft-spoken way of his kindness and his faith. But that earthly tent is destroyed, but has a building from God. That's the Spirit of God. That's what's within us that goes on eternally. In a book which is called by Dr. Mark Laberton, who's president of Fuller Seminary now, he speaks of God's call upon each of our lives. Call isn't measured by outcomes, he says, how much we achieve or accomplish, but through the process of following Jesus in and through it all. In the end, call is about the continuous formation into the likeness of Jesus, far more than it is about finding direction or getting a job. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us as well. There's a hymn that is sung often, I know, at First Reformed Church, Pompton Plains, and maybe one that was sung years ago at Second Reformed Church, or maybe at Union Reformed Church, or maybe you've heard it at camp. But it's, "Go now in peace." Remember those words?
Yeah.
You do, Janice. Okay, at least one person besides myself. But listen to these words in closing. Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour of every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so that all the world can see. God will be there watching from above. Go now in peace, in faith, and in love. And then closes with amen 3 times. The Lord not only watching from above, but the Lord is at work within us, very present through his Spirit at work. Treasures in clay jars. Let us pray together. Lord, your power is expressed many times in our weaknesses, but also you've entrusted us with gifts and abilities. And so, Lord, may the message that you want us to apply in our lives go with us, but especially your Spirit and power, presence, and purpose in this week and in the weeks ahead. Amen.